This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Sexting, sex bracelets, sex parties, 21st century teenagers are out of control. Or are they? Kathleen Bogle is co-author of Kids Gone Wild, and she argues that kids these days are actually less promiscuous than they were 10, 20, even 30 years ago. Kathleen is a sociologist at LaSalle University. And Kathleen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's dive right into these horror stories. What are some of the big ones floating around the internet and on the media?
Well, sex bracelets was one of the ones that traveled the furthest, really, literally all over the world. So the sex bracelet story was that kids were wearing these gel bracelets of different colors, and the legend goes that the colors actually secretly stand for sex acts, and if someone snaps the bracelet off, you have to do whatever sex act corresponds with the color. And red meant lap dance, black meant intercourse, or depending upon who you asked, the color and the sex meaning would change.
So the sex bracelet is one thing, the rainbow party, sexting, pregnancy packs. Let's parse the fact from the fiction. Which are real and which are urban legends?
Well, sexting is real. Sexting was really happening. We still kind of present the issue as potentially being hyped, especially considering people were suggesting that we arrest teens and put them in jail as sex offenders because of sexting. What research actually shows is the most common sexting scenario is that two teens who are dating and involved with each other, one sends a sexually provocative picture to the other. And that can often be the end of the story. Where it ends up making news is if, you know, the teens end up breaking up and the disgruntled party ends up sending the picture out and the picture gets wide circulation. And so the question came up, well, what do we do if that happens? And because there's so much hype over teen sexual behavior, people say, well, we have to, you know, crack down on this. We have to lock them up. We have to register them as sex offenders because they thought we hit some point of no return where we had to take drastic measures.
We do get the message that teen sex is just out of control. But what about the numbers? Are kids more sexually active than they have been in the past?
Believe it or not, they're less according to national data. So the Centers for Disease Control tracks youth sexual behavior. There's actually something called the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. If you look at, for example, the percent of high school students who have ever had intercourse, in 1991, 54% had had intercourse. By 2011, it had dropped to 47%. And that same pattern of a not a drastic drop, but a significant drop we see in almost all measures of sexual behavior. So the percent of teens that have had more than four sexual partners, the percent of teens that have had engaged in oral sex, all those kind of things, we see staying constant or decreasing a bit.
How about teen pregnancies?
Teen pregnancy has dropped significantly since the early 1990s by almost 40%. So it's one of the biggest success stories in public health is a drop in teen pregnancy. Well, now, that's not to say we're not still having issues with that, that there aren't thousands of people getting pregnant, but it's on the decline, not increasing, as we've been led to believe.
Why are news outlets so eager to report on teenage sexual behavior?
Well, I think, you know, the idea that sex sells has been around for a long time. But I think what the news media does is they don't just, you know, try to sell the sexual story, but they're trying to sell fear also. If you look at some of the quotes we have where we look at the introductions to stories on sex bracelets or rainbow parties or sexting, it's always like, parents, you need to listen. Parents, you need to sit down. You need to prepare yourself. We're going to tell you that your child is doing things that you cannot believe, that you don't know about, that's putting them at risk. So they're really selling a kind of fear-mongering and this idea that their kid, their precious kid, is at risk and that they're not aware of it and they're missing the boat and they better tune into that story to see what's going on.
Kathleen Bogle is with us. She is co-author with Joel Best of a new book called Kids Gone Wild, From Rainbow Parties to Sexting, Understanding the Hype Over Teen Sex. Well, many of these stories that we do hear, there's this almost fear of teenage girls. What is this revealing about the nature of the hype? Inherent sexism in the media or what?
I think there's definitely a fear that the character and morality of girls have changed. So if you look historically in the U.S., the, you know, female was supposed to play the gatekeeper role. She was supposed to say no and turn down the advances that guys might put forth. And I think part of the fear and part of where these legends get traction is that, well, maybe they're not going to turn them down. And maybe they're going to be the ones that are the aggressors. A show that I watch on CBS, The Good Wife, did an episode where they had a female character that was very aggressive towards the son of the main character. And, you know, so she's playing this very aggressive high school student, and they showed her arm being filled with sex bracelets. And they didn't even explain what they were. She just kind of showed the arm of bracelets and said, you know, I'm completing my political education. And the implication was she was trying to sleep with all these kids of political figures. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting with these stories is over time, you don't even need to explain them anymore. They become what we call like a cultural touchstone, where everyone just knows what a sex bracelet is. Everyone just knows what a rainbow party is. And you can just make a passing reference to it, and people kind of nod as if, yeah, the kids today are insane. They've gone crazy, and they're doing all these things that previous generations would have never done.
Shouldn't we be concerned over some of these behaviors, like sexting, for example, and the shaming that often comes with it?
Well, I do think that there are things to be concerned about, and my co-author and I aren't saying that there isn't. The issue is whether we have such a hyped view of things that when it comes to an issue like sexting, do we handle it the right way? So one way to think about the sexting issue is, you know, how do we get people to be smart about what they post and what they make public and what they send to one another? How do we criminalize if people are publicly sharing something that was supposed to be a private message? But that's not what happened. In some of the cases, they were taking girls that were barely teens, you know, 13 years old, and trying to charge them, trying to say they were sex offenders for sending a picture of themselves in a bra to a guy they liked or to their boyfriend. So, you know, the idea that we would register them as sex offenders the way we would a pedophile for doing that seems to me to be very out of whack.
Is this just something that comes up generation by generation? I mean, we think in the 20s, it was the flappers. There was Reefer Madness. There was Elvis Presley's hips, you know, Free Love, drugs and disco in the 70s, Stranger Danger in the 80s. Is this just a new manifestation of that fear?
I think it is to some extent. We talk about that. We lay out the history in the book about, you know, people were once concerned about going steady and what that meant. They were concerned about lipstick and miniskirts. And like you said, Elvis Presley and what that meant. So there's always a tendency to look at the young and become concerned about what they're doing. But if it just stopped at concern, it would be one thing. But like I said, it creeps over into policy, and not just regarding sexting, but when the public discussion over Plan B birth control was laced with quotes about, you know, teens gone wild, the public discussion and government debate over Gardasil vaccine and whether young people should get it. We don't want people making policy decisions based on a warped idea about what young people are supposedly doing.
So there's some payoff to stories about kids being out of control for various different interests.
Yeah, what's interesting is it can be very opposite interests. So feminists can take up one of these issues and say, look, young women are being exploited. They're being tricked into going to rainbow parties. They're being tricked into sexting and then exposed when a ex-boyfriend forwards the picture. So feminists can take it up. But then conservatives can, on the other side of the aisle, take up the issue and say, look at the morality of youth. The youth are behaving in ways that previous generations wouldn't. This is a sign of moral decay and a decrease in family values. So the very same topic, opposite sides of the aisle take it up and show that it's evidence of what their concern is, what their agenda is.
Those are representing ideologies, but there must be some payoff for society and culture to embrace these messages, even if they're scary. I mean, we seem to gobble them up. How does it serve the rest of us?
Well, I think when you look at urban legends in general, the whole idea of urban legends is that they are based on some sort of underlying fear. So we have a fear today about the sexualization of youth, the sexualization of childhood, that kids are growing up too fast, that they're being exposed to things that previous generations weren't. And we look at these public figures like Lindsay Lohan and Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and Miley Cyrus, and we say, oh no, youth are going to go the same way they are. They're going to pattern their behavior after them. And what's interesting is there just isn't evidence to support that. At the very same time we're concerned about all of that, as we talked about earlier, we see trends where behavior has gotten a little more conservative in terms of sexual behavior. Less people are sexually active in high school than they were 20 years ago. So imagine telling parents, you know, that, oh, no, it was actually your generation that was more sexually active than the current one you're so worried about. They would never believe it. And I can say for a fact that they would never believe it, because when I tell people about this research I've done and this book I've done, they're very reluctant to buy into it. They say, well, you know, you must be missing something. Or if I tell them, well, no, things aren't out of control sexually. I've had someone say back to me, well, what about drugs? They're worse with drugs than ever, aren't they? So there's this tendency to believe that the younger generation is worse than ever. And if you tell them something to the contrary, they don't want to believe it. But you put the headline out there that says kids gone wild. You put an Oprah episode that said, is your child leading a double life? And they buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Kathleen Bogle, thank you for helping us cut through the hype.
Thanks for having me.
Kathleen Bogle is Associate Professor of Sociology and Criminal Justice at LaSalle University and co-author with Joel Best of Kids Gone Wild. You'll find a link to more on the book on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. And up next, we're going to hear from a teen about the real-world consequences of sexting and why she believes sexual cyberbullying has become the modern-day equivalent of the scarlet letter for teenage girls. That story when Word of Mouth continues on NHPR.